What's up, y'all? Welcome back. I appreciate you guys for tuning in to another episode, wherever you may be. The fact that you took time to listen to what your girl got to say, I am forever grateful for that. Especially for this episode. We're going to get into it. We are talking about polygyny, which is like a hot topic. When I posted things on my social media page, the men went crazy. And the women. Mostly the men. So we're going to get into it this episode. So I am talking about polygyny, how polygyny is for pagans. And I stand 10 toes down on that. And here's why. We need to stay in our lane. What a lot of people don't realize is that they are pushing customs and culture that is not ours. And the problem is that a lot of men who claim to be Hebrews, who know that they are Hebrews or Israelites, they know who they are, but for some reason, they are pushing this polygyny lifestyle. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I first started hearing about this polygyny nonsense, because that's what it is, when I first started hearing about this, I didn't even need to look in the Bible to know that that was not right. Like, I felt in my spirit, I'm like, that doesn't, you having more than one woman, that doesn't even sound right. Because last time I checked, there wasn't multiple Eves created in the Garden of Eden. It was just one. Adam and Eve. Eve and Adam. That was it. Adam didn't have multiple women created from his rib. It was just one, right? One man, one woman, one flesh. So when I started hearing this, I'm like, where is this coming from? So in my mind, personally, I didn't feel the need to do any research because sometimes you just know when something is wrong. You don't need to go do research to figure out if something is wrong or not. You just know. But you know, I took the time to do a little bit of research. And you want to know something? I feel like this is being pushed as an agenda, first and foremost. But I'm not surprised. If I'm being transparent with you, I am not surprised that a lot of people are pushing this polygyny. Now, fellas, I'm gonna have to get on y'all this episode, but I see a lot of men pushing this, and then women are just coming along agreeing with it. I'm gonna be honest. And I'm not surprised. Because we live in a culture of this high value man. I'm gonna set y'all up. We gonna get into it, but I'm gonna set y'all up. We live in this high value man culture, right? I'm a high value man. I make this amount of money. I make that amount of money. I wear this. I got that. I drive in this car. I got this house. I'm a high value man, right? So me as a high value man, I deserve this, that, and a third, especially when it comes to women. But you want to know something? Women are wanting men for their money and resources, right? So you got a whole bunch of men running around talking about they a high value man. And because they make a certain amount of money, they deserve a certain type of woman or multiple women. And then women, on the other hand, are wanting men strictly for their money and resources. So the reality is, don't y'all make a perfect couple? Why y'all gotta drag us into it? The us meaning people who just want one spouse. I don't want multiple husbands. I'm good on that. And whoever a guy has for me, I know he's not gonna want multiple women. Only one, which is me. But you know, again, I'm not surprised why this topic of conversation keeps on coming up, because this is what our society is pushing now. Really, because we in the end times. But on top of that, people are wanting to just live in sin. You know, a lot of men are talking about having more than one woman if they have money. And I feel like they think that this is okay, especially men who are in the word. Well, you think they in the word, but they not really. But they claim to be in the word. They feel like this is okay because King David and King Solomon. Oh, well, King David and King Solomon had multiple women, had multiple wives and concubines. So they feel justified in having multiple women. And you want to know the irony about King David and King Solomon? They were kings, first off. So what does this mean? Israel was never even supposed to have a king. There was never supposed to be a King David. You do know that, right? There was never supposed to be a King Solomon. There was never supposed to be Saul. We were never supposed to have a king, because who needs a king when you already have the King of all kings leading you? The reason why the Israelites wanted a king so bad was because the other nations had kings. The other nations had leaders over them, and those leaders were not in submission to Yah. In fact, a lot of their kings, like the other nations, their kings, they were considered gods, which is why when they died, they felt like their, you know, their god, their king was a god now. So these nations had kings, but in these nations' minds, their kings were God. That wasn't what the Israelites were. That wasn't the Israelites' lifestyle. These other nations were polytheistic. Poly meaning the irony, polytheistic, polygyny, poly. These other nations were polytheistic, so they believed in multiple gods and goddesses, more than one. The Israelites were monotheistic. Monotheistic meaning one. Monotheistic, monogamous. I'm just getting a revelation now, y'all. I'm just talking. I'm just like, oh, wow, this actually makes sense. The Israelites were a monotheistic nation. They believed in one God, which was the one true living God, Yahuwah. So they didn't need, you don't need a king when you already have the King of all kings. But again, with the Israelites, they wanted what they wanted, and they wanted to be like the other nations after God told them, don't be like them. But the Israelites, like, you know, we ain't trying to hear what you got to say. We want what the other nations have. So this is how we have King David, King Solomon, King Saul. That's how we got the kings. But anywho, we're going to get into that later on in this episode. Just follow me. But the thing about this polygyny lifestyle and it being pushed is that, you know, women, I'm going to get on the ladies too. A lot of women are enabling this lifestyle because they simply want money and resources. They want money and resources. I can't speak for all women, but if a woman really likes you, she's not going to be okay with you having another woman around unless you have, you know, you got to brainwash her into doing that, which is what I feel like a lot of these men be doing. Another woman is not going to be comfortable or okay with another woman around if that woman is into you. That, no, it's a no, an absolute not. So a lot of these women who are enabling this polygyny lifestyle, what what makes you think that when another man comes along who has a lot more money than you, that she's going to be faithful to you? She's going to go to the next man who got more money than you. I don't think men realize that pushing this polygyny is actually to their downfall. The only men who were having multiple women, even in biblical times, were men who had money, right? Men who, you know, who could afford having multiple women. And let me add this, because I'm going to add this. Sorry, y'all. I'm going on like a little rant. Let me add this. Let me tell y'all what polygyny is and what polygyny is not. Polygyny is when a man has the money and he is providing for the women. So if a man is making $100,000 and he has two women, that $100,000 is split between those two women and himself. You notice how the women aren't bringing anything to the table? They don't have any money, right? They might, you know, work a little job here and there, but the man is using his salary to provide for the two women and himself. Now, I'm not sure about you, but $100,000 in this economy to split even amongst two women and then yourself, sir, you're not making wise decisions with your money at all. But again, it is when a man is providing for the women. What is happening is not polygyny. These men are not pushing, they're pushing polygyny, but they're not practicing polygyny. They're actually pimping. And here is why. These men want more than one woman, but those women are still working and providing. So hold on, let me get this straight. I am still going out working a 9-to-5. And when I get a paycheck, that paycheck goes to the household. And I'm also sharing you with another woman who's out here working the 9-to-5. Excuse me. Like, I want y'all to think about that for a second. What polygyny is not is when a man has multiple women, but those women are also still providing for the household. Y'all literally remind me, y'all meaning these men who are promoting this, not necessarily you who's listening, but men who are promoting this lifestyle, they remind me of pimps, like straight up, because that's what pimps do. They have the women, and women can be pimps too, but they have the women on a corner getting the money, and then they bring the money back to the pimp. Like, come on now. Like, seriously, that's not that's not polygyny, my dear. And, but you know what? Again, I feel like this is an agenda that's being pushed. The powers that be see what's going on. They see that these men are pushing polygyny, which is what they want them to do, push this lifestyle, this sinful lifestyle. And then when the powers that be are like, okay, thank you for pushing this lifestyle, now we gonna lock you up because what you're doing is actually pimping and that's illegal. So thank you for pushing this lifestyle. Thank you for bringing destruction upon your community. And now we're gonna lock you up because we been knew what you were doing. And that wasn't even polygyny. That was pimping. They do the same thing with these artists. These artists be catching cases all the time, unaliving, you know, like killing people in their community. And the powers that be, they know this, but they want these artists to promote this violence and debauchery in our community. And then once they numbers go up for men going to prison and locked up and on drugs and all that stuff, then it's like, okay, thank you for your service. Now we're gonna lock you up, right? That person you didn't kill like 10 years ago. Oh yeah, we ain't forget about that. You didn't get off the hook. We been knew that. We just needed you to destroy your community first, and then we're going to lock you up too. I mean, come on, y'all. But anywho, so this polygyny lifestyle is being pushed onto us, just like the LGBTQ ideology. And the funny thing is, here's the funny thing. I remember, and I haven't even been removed from high school for that long. Like, I graduated in 2012. Graduated in 2012. The LGBT community, like, they weren't really, like, popular like that. By the time I graduated, like, college and where I am now, I mean, it's in the schools. As a child, I remember we were not being taught that. But they're teaching children that in the schools now. A little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. The same polygyny lifestyle that's being pushed onto us is the same thing that they did with the LGBT community. And the problem is we have a lot of people who claim to be believers, who claim to be followers of Yah, saying, oh, well, you know, I don't practice polygyny, but that doesn't mean that it's a sin. What you are saying is that if it don't affect me, then it's okay. You're a man and you don't like other men. You like women. Okay, cool. But the fact that you still think it's okay for other men to like men is the problem. Does that make sense? When you don't call sin a sin, you still allow Satan to do what he wants to do. You still leave the door open. What you're saying is the door is open. I'm not going to walk through the door, but I'm just going to leave it open. So who you think going to walk through it? You don't walk through the door, but somebody, Satan, he's going to walk through the door because you left it open still. Satan is only concerned when you shut the door because now he can't go through the door. But anywho, this polygyny lifestyle and custom was not and never has been Hebrew culture. This lifestyle was that of pagan nations, nations who did not worship Yahuwah. And it's sad that men who are pushing this lifestyle don't realize that this was of the pagans, or maybe they do realize and they just don't care. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're pushing this lifestyle, not realizing that this lifestyle was from pagans. One of the things that irritates my soul is when I log on to social media and Black men who are Hebrews, are saying how monogamy, being with one woman and a woman being with one man, how monogamy is a European concept. Excuse me? I beg your pardon? They're saying how monogamy, one man, one woman, one flesh, monogamy is a European concept. How polygyny, us having more than one woman, that's an African thing. And here's what they're not saying. A lot of these African like nations that you see practicing polygyny and they think nothing of it. You notice how those people are from the line of Ham? like Hamites. Egyptians are Hamites, and Egyptians had multiple wives and concubines. Well, Pharaoh, who was an Egyptian, had multiple wives and concubines. They're from the line of Ham. So what am I saying? I am not shocked by any means. When you look at nations in Africa, how they have polygyny, like that's their lifestyle. I'm not shocked. That they've been doing that. That's their culture. That's their custom. Just because somebody has the same skin color as you doesn't mean that they're kinfolk. There are people in Africa right now who are darker than me. I mean, they are black, like black. But they don't share the same culture as me, the same customs. Just because we have the same skin color, they could be blacker than me. Doesn't mean that we are the same people. And that's the problem, because we don't know who we are. People don't know that so-called African-Americans, so-called black folks in this country, that we are Hebrews. They don't know that we have a culture. So they're grabbing onto other people's culture. And one of the things from other people's culture is polygyny, having multiple women. We are literally repeating the exact same mistakes that caused Yahuwah to judge us in the first place. A lot of men, a lot of leaders in our community are blinded by their lusts, their covetousness, their greed, etc., which is causing them to live a sinful lifestyle. And unfortunately, Yah is giving a lot of them over to a debased mind. So what does this mean? Yah is allowing them to do what they want to do to fulfill the lust of the flesh, because what they don't realize is that they are condemning themselves. When you continue doing what it is that you want to do and not caring what Yah said in his word, he will allow you to do what you want to do, which is exactly how we got kings, King David, King Solomon in the first place, King Saul, because the Israelites wanted a king. They begged Yah for a king, and Yah was like, no, I don't want to give you a king. I am your king, O Israel. But they wanted what they wanted. So guess what God did? He gave it to them. And even in Yah giving them a king, he was still merciful, because Yah said, I'm going to choose your king. I'm going to be the one over choosing your king. And on top of that, I'm going to give your king's instructions on how they are to conduct themselves, which is what we're going to get into. I want us to realize that the biggest issues the Israelites had was wanting to be like other nations. I want y'all to think about this. Yahuwah had delivered his people out of bondage from the Egyptians, from Egypt. They were crying out, Lord God, deliver us. They oppressing us. They, you know, whipping us every day. They're, you know, we're slaves here in this country. Deliver us. And guess what he did? He delivered them from the Egyptians who were a polytheistic nation who believed in multiple gods and goddesses, right? Yah delivered them. And when he delivered them, he wanted them, the Israelites, to be set apart. So let's look at scripture. Deuteronomy 12, verse 29. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. So Yah delivered his people from Egypt out of bondage, and they are on their way to the promised land. And Yah told them straight up, hey, when y'all go into this land and you take over the land, take heed to yourselves that you do not take after these nations, that you do not inquire of their gods, asking them how they worship their gods and doing all this stuff, because what they do is an abomination to me. What they do to worship their gods is an abomination to me. They sacrifice their sons. They sacrifice their daughters. They put them through the fire. They do a whole bunch of debauchery, nastiness. I don't want y'all being like them. I want you to be set apart. You are a set apart nation, Israel. Don't be like these other nations. Yah told them straight up. He delivered them out of bondage, taking them to the promised land and telling them, do not be like these other nations. And what do you think the Israelites did? Became like the other nations. The Egyptians, again, they are polytheistic. Many beliefs, many gods. You know how you have Horus, Osiris, Isis, Ra. I'm not sure if y'all seen that Prince of Egypt movie. Y'all know the one that came out in the 90s where the people actually look black in the movie. The animated one where Moses, he had went back, and there's a scene in the movie, Prince of Egypt movies, amazing movie. There's a scene where he's back in Egypt and he's talking to Ramesses, his brother. And a song is called Playing with the Big Boys. Like, you're playing with the big boys now. Anywho, during the song, like, the two magicians, they were naming off the gods that they served. It's the power of Ra. And then they started just naming off the gods that they served. And I always, for some reason, I like that song. It was a catchy song. But the fact that they were naming off the gods that they served, right? So the Egyptians had multiple gods. Guess who else had multiple gods? Greeks, the Romans, the Philistines, the Amorites, the Moabites, Amalekites. All these nations that the Israelites were told to defeat and conquer, those nations had other gods. Those nations were serving Satan. And Yah commanded the Israelites to separate themselves from them or be destroyed amongst them. Because again, we serve a God who is a just God. He's going to judge sin. So if you attach yourself to sin and he comes back for judgment, what makes you think that he's not going to judge you and just judge the nations who were in sin? You've attached yourself to sin, so you would be judged with the sin. Why do you think Yah told them to separate themselves from other nations? Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For those nations which you will dispossess listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. I want to make this point because this, I just thought about this. Before the Israelites were delivered out of Egypt, right? The plagues came upon Egypt. I want you to go back. I'm not going to do it in this episode, but I want you to go back and read the plagues, starting from the first one. In the scriptures, it says that a plague, Yah sent a plague upon Egypt, but the Egyptian soothsayers and sorcerers, magicians, they copied what God did. So God sent the plague. And then the Egyptian sorcerers and magicians, they copy what God did. Now, if they were able to copy and do what God did, what power were they operating out of? What power were they operating out of to do exactly what God did? Satan. Satan transforms himself as an angel of light. Don't think for one second that Yah can do something. You know, Satan can mock that, right? But here's the thing. And I want you to go back and look at the plagues and then look at the gods. You know, when I think Yah sent like frogs and stuff, the Egyptians had a god that was over frogs. Yah was actually mocking the Egyptian when he was sending the plagues. Yeah, he was in his bag with that. But yeah, go do y'all research. Go do y'all research. But he was mocking the Egyptians. But anywho, The Egyptian sorcerers and magicians were operating out of Satan's power. But here's the thing. It got to the point where they couldn't keep up with what Yah was doing. The magicians said to Pharaoh, "Hey, Pharaoh, the God that they are that they're under, like we can't keep up with him. Like we tried to in the beginning, like the first couple plagues, but we can't keep up with him. We give up. His power is more powerful than us." The magicians who were operating out of Satan's power couldn't keep up with Yah. Satan couldn't keep up with Yah. I hope y'all are catching this. I just wanted to add that, let you ponder on that. Right? Because sometimes people, you know, they don't realize that Satan can do the same thing. He transforms himself as an angel of light. But one thing that he can't do is keep up with Yah. He'll deceive you for a second. He'll deceive you with like a counterfeit. But then when you look at it closely, he's like, hold on now. This ain't the real deal. This ain't the real thing. Because he can't keep up with Yah. And Yah knew this. But anywho, let's continue. So again, the Israelites were told to separate themselves from other nations. Right? The Israelites were monotheistic nation. They believed in one Yahuwah, who later came in the flesh, Yahushua HaMashiach, in the flesh. And the thing is that a nation only serving one God was a new thing to pagan nations. Y'all have to understand that the Israelites were among nations that they did their own thing. These other nations, they served multiple gods, i.e. Satan, but they served multiple gods. So when the Israelites came up and said, oh, well, we only serve one, these nations looking at the Israelites, well, who the heck are y'all? Like, y'all think y'all better than us, right? You think you too good? Like, y'all serve one God, we serve multiple, only to be defeated by the one. And the thing is that these nations felt that their gods were more powerful than Yah. And then Yah showed his power like he did in Egypt. So, you know, some people changed their ways, but others continued in their pride. But the point I'm trying to make is that the Israelites, the purpose of the Israelites was to be a light to the rest of the world. They were a living example of what it meant to live righteous and holy. They were supposed to be a living example in the flesh of what it meant to live righteous and a holy life. So this is exactly why Yah wanted them to be set apart. He didn't want them to be tainted from the rest of the world, right? That was their mission, to be an example to the Gentiles. That was their mission, to be an example to the Gentiles. Other nations didn't believe in Yah, but when they saw how the Israelites conducted themselves, that was supposed to be an example of, oh, okay, like, you know, maybe we should start living like the Israelites. But what did the Israelites decide to do? They decided to be tainted like the rest of the world. And one of the things that the rest of the world had were kings. So what did the Israelites start doing? They started begging for a king. I feel like one of the biggest sins that the Israelites struggled with was idolatry. They continuously fell into idolatry, worshiping other nations' gods and, you know, like taking on their customs and culture. They started worshiping other gods and sacrificing like other nations. This was an abomination to Yah. They took on other nations' customs and culture and disregarded their Hebrew culture. Imagine, you have your own culture. Yah himself, the king of all kings, just defeated like the most powerful nation at the time, which was the Egyptians. He defeated your enemies in front of you, delivered you in front of them. They couldn't deny Yah's power. And Yah says, I want y'all to be set apart. Y'all are nation unto me. I want you to be righteous and holy. But the Israelites said, no. We're going to settle for less. We're going to be tainted by the world. We're going to be unrighteous and unholy. And we're going to be like these other nations. Even though these other nations worship Satan, who you defeated, we're going to be like them. And one of the ways they wanted to be like them was that they wanted a king over them, even though they already had the king of all kings leading them. First Samuel 8. Now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now I want to add this. This is where we learn about Israel demanding a king. They've been demanding a king, but this is where it kind of like drives the point home. So Samuel was a prophet. And the thing about how the Israelites were set up was it was Yahuwah, a prophet whom he appointed, and then it was the people. So anytime Yah wanted to speak to the people, the prophet would just relay that message to the people. But you notice how the prophet was still in submission to Yah. Nobody was above the Most High. The prophets weren't even above the Most High. The reason for this was because one, order, and two, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, was not given to everybody. The Messiah hadn't come in the flesh yet, died for our sins, resurrected, ascended back into heaven, and given us a spirit yet. So everybody wasn't hearing from Yah like that. That wasn't a thing. Like how we have it today, where we can have a direct relationship with him, that wasn't going on back then, right? Some things hadn't happened yet. So in order for the people to get a message from him, from Yah, he relayed the message to a prophet, and the prophet relayed the message to the people. And he held the prophet accountable too, who they was acting up. He held prophets accountable too. But I just want y'all to picture that in your mind. That's how the order was. So it was Yah, the prophet, and then the people. So again, now it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. So the sons, who were supposed to be judges over Israel, they need to be judged themselves. They were corrupt, right? Samuel's sons ended up being corrupted. So let's continue. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." Y'all. Y'all. Israel had judges to judge them. And the thing about the judges was that their judges were people of their own nation. I hope y'all are catching this. Because when we talk about slavery and, oh, we were slaves in this country and stuff, I am not saying that we were. All I'm saying is this. We are reading right here in scripture that we wanted somebody appointed over us like the other nations. We wanted a king. We wanted a judge appointed over us. We already had Yah himself doing that for us. Yah, who was merciful. But no, we didn't want the mercy. We didn't want the grace. We wanted somebody else who wasn't even, you know, like people of our nation. We wanted them over us. We wanted a king over us. I am just baffled sometimes how we complain about certain things in our community. And I'm like, wow, scripture. We complain about people having people over us, but yet that's what we wanted. And God gave us exactly what we wanted. Sometimes reading scripture just out loud blows my mind. I'm sorry. Let me get back on track. So anywho, where am I? But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods. So they are doing to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." So Yah is telling Samuel, don't trip. Them people don't listen. My people are hard-headed and they do not listen. They have not rejected you, Samuel. They've rejected me. They rejected me, the God who was over them. They want somebody else to reign over them. So don't even trip. Right? But see, here's the thing. Let them know what's going to happen to them. Forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who is going to reign over them. Right? So I'm going to give the people what they want, but let them know that the king that they want, what he going to do to them. This is God telling Samuel. So now, this is Samuel. Let's continue reading. So Samuel, I've been saying Samuel. Y'all, forgive me. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers, and he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves. And the Lord will not hear you in that day." So Samuel is basically getting the people hip like, look, okay, y'all gonna get your king. But this is what he's going to do to you. And, you know, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking about the curses of Deuteronomy 28. Y'all need to go read that chapter. But Samuel's letting the people know, hey, look, y'all can have a king, but this is what he's going to do to y'all. But this is what y'all wanted. This is what you asked for, and this is what you're going to get. So pretty much it's almost like the king was going to be made wealthy off the backs of the people. Ooh, you know, this reminds me of present day. Not gonna lie, this remind me of pastors. Pastors in these churches, bishops in these Hebrew Israelite camps. You know, I always found it a little odd. I don't believe you gotta be broke, busted, and disgusted, but it does kind of raise my eyebrow when the pastor is living lavish and the people who are coming to him for a word, they broke and gotta catch the bus or something. You know, like it never sat well with me. You know, and again, people manage their money and people aren't good with managing their money. But I'm sorry. Why is your pastor in a whole Gucci outfit? got that drip and you wearing rags? Like, that's weird to me. That's weird to me. I feel like if you're going to be a leader, especially over God's people, it's servant leadership. If anything, the people should be looking better than you. People might disagree. That's fine. But yeah, that's what it reminded me of. But anywho, y'all. So we just read in scripture that the people begged for a king and God was like, all right, bet, I'm gonna give y'all what y'all want. And the biggest thing I want y'all to catch is the fact that they wanted a king over them like the other nations. So how does this tie into polygyny? Right? Y'all thought I forgot. That's what we were talking about. I ain't forget. How does this tie into polygyny? Kings of other nations having multiple wives and concubines was the norm. That's what they did. This is exactly why when a king died, the wealth, prestige, resources, the women, the concubines, the king's son or Pharaoh's son or whoever came after him inherited all of that. They kept it in the family. And the irony in this, the funny thing, is that Yahuwah appointed kings over Israel. They were within the Israelite family, but Yah appointed kings. So after Saul, David was appointed. But you notice how David wasn't Saul's son. David was the son of Jesse. They were from Bethlehem. In the other nations, that wasn't a thing. It was Pharaoh. Then when Pharaoh died, his son inherited. And then when his son inherited, he died or the daughter inherited. It was generation. It was a family thing. But God himself appointed who he wanted to appoint to be king. I want y'all to take note about that. But the thing is that these other nations had multiple wives and concubines. And why is this? Well, first off, it showed that the king had it like that. Because, baby, let me tell you something. If you ain't have money, you are not running around here with multiple women. Period. So when Pharaoh or, you know, Pharaoh or king, Pharaoh and king, same thing, but Egyptians call Pharaoh, Pharaoh. So when a king had, let's say, like 500 concubines or wives or whatever, people looked at the king like, oh, snap, he got money. Because ain't no man who's broke is having 500 women. So it was a status symbol. It reminds me of when rappers talk about they chains and how many cars they have, or even going after each other's girl. It's a status thing, right? Oh, you know, king such and such, he got 500 concubines. He got 1,000 wives. It literally just said that the king had money. It was a status symbol because women, especially back then, and y'all, it seems like society is reverting back to that today. Women back then were just, they were just there. They were just objects to be used, pawns, if you will. They were just pawns, just objects used as a status symbol to show other people that you got it like that. And for some reason, our men today, y'all want multiple women, like for what? But anywho, kings and pharaohs of other nations had concubines, had wives. This was what the kings were doing. This was nothing new. This was nothing out the ordinary for these folks. That was their custom. That was their culture. That's how they got down. And the Israelites wanted a king to reign over them. So what was the customs and culture of kings? To have multiple wives and concubines. So when we talk about King David and King Solomon and King Saul or the kings of Israel, I am not shocked by any means why they had multiple women. And you want to know the crazy thing? I'm going to bring up scripture because, you know, you got men. Where does it say in scripture? I'm going to show y'all where it says in scripture. Calm down. I got y'all. All right. So Deuteronomy 17, principles governing kings. And I want y'all, I'm in a New King James, by the way. I want y'all to truly listen to this because this blew my mind. Deuteronomy 17, we're going to start at 14. When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you and possess it and dwell in it and say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations that are around me, you shall surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses. One from among your brethren you shall set as king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you, who is not your brother. But he shall not multiply horses from himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself. Let me read this again because I don't think y'all listen to what I'm saying. Deuteronomy 17, verse 17. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. So I want y'all to think about this. This is in Deuteronomy. Yahuwah had just delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. Because remember, when we read in 1 Samuel how they were demanding a king, this is going to make sense. I'm going to bring it all together right now. Yahuwah delivered the Israelites out of Egypt from the hands of Pharaoh, from oppression, and they were on their way to the promised land. This was when Moses, you know, like he was getting instructions. And this is Yahuwah telling the Israelites, well, like through the prophet Moses, telling the Israelites how they should conduct themselves when they go to possess this land. As we just read, he is telling them, I'm not sure if y'all caught this, when you go into the land that I'm giving you and you possess it and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me like the other nations that are around me. Pause right there, y'all. Y'all already knew that they were going to demand a king. Y'all already knew that when they were going into the promised land and going to possess it and dwell in it, he knew that they were going to demand a king. And what did he say? I will set a king. He said, you shall surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses, because God chooses the king of Israel. It's the fact that God already knew that that's what they were going to do. God knew Israel was going to demand a king. He knew that. And here's why it's powerful. Because when we scroll down, when we look down in scripture, when he says, neither shall he multiply wives for himself, talking about the king, he is telling them up front, hey, I already know y'all about to go in that land and demand a king because y'all hard-headed, disobedient. And plus, I'm the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I know the past, the present, and the future. So I already know y'all are going to demand a king. So here is the command or law that I'm going to put in place. He shall not multiply wives for himself. God already told them not to do that. He was telling the kings not to do that. This was for the kings. The man who actually had power, money, prestige to have multiple women, he was telling them, those men, not to multiply wives. So let me get this straight. If God is telling men who actually have the means to have multiple women not to have multiple women, what makes you think that the everyday man, right, you know, making everyday money, has the right to have multiple women? I'm confused. And you want to know why I feel like Yah told the kings that they're not allowed to have multiple women? Because that trickles down to the people. If the head honcho ain't allowed to do something, what makes you think who is, you know, a person who's underneath his authority, what makes you think you're allowed to do that? Like, think about it. Kings of Israel were not allowed to multiply women or, you know, like take on multiple wives. Yah said so himself not to do that. And the irony is that he said this because he knew that the people are going to demand a king. So he already said it. Y'all going to demand a king. So I'm going to let y'all know right now, kings are not allowed to multiply women. So why are men in our community running around saying, oh, King David, King Solomon? Because as we just read right here, first off, they weren't allowed to multiply women. But what did they do? King Solomon, King David, they did what they wanted to do. Isn't that what we do? We do what we want to do. God said not to sin. God said not to fornicate. Does that stop people from doing it? No, it doesn't. Which is why we have problems now in the community. But you notice how he said what he said. We read it, but we still do what we want to do. But you notice how it doesn't change what he said? Come on. Come on now. I don't know how y'all gonna get around that one. The kings disregarded what God said. They disregarded that. They did what they wanted to do. I want to continue reading Deuteronomy 17, verse 17, and I'm going to continue reading because this is really powerful. All right. So Deuteronomy 17:17, neither shall he multiply wives for himself, referring to the kings, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. Listen, y'all. Also, it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. This is so powerful. Because Yah was telling the king specifically that they should write a copy for himself of this law of these commands and statutes God was giving them. And it should be near and dear to the king's heart. Whoever that was going to be, it should be near and dear to his heart. That he should read these commands and statutes every day so he won't fall away from Yah. So his heart won't be puffed up against his brethren. Meaning that, okay, yeah, you a king and everything, but that doesn't mean that you better than the people. You're supposed to lead us in righteousness and holiness. So even though Israel demanded a king like the other nations, Yahuwah still set parameters for how the kings of Israel were supposed to conduct themselves. This was not a free-for-all. But what happens when you put people in positions of leadership, and even when you give people commands, goodness gracious, I'm getting a revelation. What happens? What happens when you put laws in place, rules in place to protect people? What are people going to do? They're going to fall short. Why? Because they're people. They're human beings. They're going to fall short. You already had the King of all kings leading you and guiding you. And he's never going to fall short because he's God. He is who he is. He is the I am. He was never going to fall short. But y'all wanted a king. Y'all wanted a flawed human being to reign over you. So I'm not surprised why kings ended up being corrupted. Kings ended up feeling like they could do what they wanted to do, even though Yah said in his word not to do certain things. That's what we do today. Yah told the kings, you are not allowed to multiply wives. And he said this before he even appointed a king. Before the people even demanded a king, because he knew y'all are going to demand a king. So let me put some parameters in place before y'all even do that. Because guess what we have now? Men running around thinking that they can have multiple women because, oh, well, King David and King Solomon. And I'm going to do an episode on the effects of polygyny, because y'all always talk about, and again, when I say y'all, I'm talking about men who probably not listening to this episode. When I say y'all, well, let me not say y'all. Men who promote this polygyny, because I do know that there are men out here who ain't rocking with that polygyny, and they know what's up. They know it's a sin and it's not good. It's not of Yah. So I ain't talking about y'all. Right? I ain't talking about y'all. Trust me, I'm not talking about y'all. I am talking about men who are promoting this nonsense. They are the ones promoting this nonsense. Right? Not truly in the word. It's ridiculous because it says it right here in scripture. And if you're a woman listening to this, this is exactly why you need to be in the word yourself. Because these men can tell you anything. Have you living in sin simply because you don't want to do your due diligence and read the word for yourself. King David was not God, which means he was going to have flaws. King Solomon was not God, which means he was going to have flaws. King Saul had flaws. Every king that the king of Israel, that became king of Israel, they were going to have flaws because they were human beings. It was inevitable, but that doesn't change the fact that God said what he said. So if Yahuwah said what he said, not to multiply wives, and you do it anyways, what is that called? A sin. Come on now. Oh, where in the Bible does it say that? It says it right there. Deuteronomy 17:17. But oh yeah, that's what I was talking about. I'm going to do another episode about how polygyny affects people, because a lot of men bring up, Abraham, but I want to talk about Jacob. Right? Oh, Jacob had multiple wives. I'm going to do an episode on that, because the reason why Joseph and Joseph's brothers had beef with him was because of polygyny. But I'm going to leave that for another episode. I don't want to make this episode too long now. We're going to do a little series about this polygyny, because this is ridiculous. Kings of Israel were not allowed to have multiple women. So what does this mean? is reading this scripture going to change people? Absolutely not. But you know what it does do? It convicts them if they haven't been given over to a debased mind already. It's important for you to know that this scripture is here, because as long as it is here, it lets those men know that what they're doing is a sin. It is very dangerous territory that they're operating out of, because one thing is that if somebody doesn't know something's a sin, they're going to continue doing it. There's no room for, I want to say atonement, for repentance. Why would you repent for something that you don't think is a sin? So if you don't think living a polygynous lifestyle, is that a word, polygynous? Living a polygynous lifestyle, if you don't think that's a sin, why would you repent from it? Just like the LGBT community, people who live that lifestyle, they don't think it's a sin. So there is no room for repentance. So if you don't need to repent from that, do you even need God in your life? Come on now. And if you don't have him in your life, you definitely don't have the spirit in you. A lot of these men who are promoting this and women who are just going along with it, they don't have the Holy Spirit operating out of them. Because again, like I said at the beginning of this episode, I didn't even need to look in the Bible to know that that was wrong. I really didn't. I promise y'all I didn't. As soon as I started hearing that, like multiple women, like that's wrong. That's a sin. And I dropped a video, a reel, saying that it was a sin. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't do a ton of research before I dropped that video. But it's almost like people in my comments, y'all forced me to do the research just to come to the conclusion that I already had in my spirit, which is wrong. Ain't that crazy? One thing about operating out of the spirit, and I'm not trying to boast or anything, but somebody who's listening to this, there are things that you will experience or hear or whatever, and you will get an unction in your spirit and be like, this is not right. I can't explain it. I don't know the scripture. I don't know what. I can't find it in the Bible. But what I do know is that this is not right. Listen to that spirit. Listen to it. Listen to it. It is better for you to listen to that spirit and then find out later that, oh, it's okay to do what you're doing, than to not listen to the spirit to find out later on that it was never okay. Because what happens is that when people don't listen to the spirit and they keep on doing what they're doing, they never find out that it's not okay. So they never repent from it. Does that make sense? Always listen to that inward voice. If you feel something is off, then just go with that. You don't need all this evidence and scriptures and so many scriptures and this, that, and that. No, it's wrong. It is what it is. And then later on, when you do the research, you find out that it was wrong. So yeah, I have no regrets dropping that reel. Had to turn my comments on, turn my comments off, to maintain faith of even finding a good man, because the way they was acting, I was like, you know what? I give up. I'll just be single. So I did that to maintain my faith, but I still stand 10 toes deep on what I said. And we just read through scripture why that was. You know, when we continue reading in the word, King David, he was granted favor amongst Yah with battles and stuff. He was winning battles, but it's funny how these battles that he was winning, he was taking the women too. And sometimes I wonder, oh, well, why didn't God judge him and this, that, and third? And I thought about this. Sometimes Yah gives us grace. Not everything that we do, like every sin we commit, he's going to like, oh, you're wrong. Oh, you're wrong. This is one thing that I've learned. He will allow you time to change your ways. He will allow you time to correct your mistakes. If somebody is in a position of leadership and every single thing they do, you're always critiquing, that doesn't build their confidence in being a leader, right? That doesn't build their confidence in being a leader. I'll tell y'all this with this polygyny topic. There was a creator who I had respect for at the time. now I'm kind of, because he made some content about me that I did not appreciate. But it's crazy because he always, you know, he was for polygyny. He always talked about polygyny. And I follow his content and I respected him as a creator. But anytime he mentioned the topic of polygyny, I was like, I don't know about that one, bro. Like, but I never commented. I never said anything nasty. If anything, I said in my mind, I'm gonna skip over this video and we just gonna pray for him. Maybe he hasn't been revealed, you know, it hasn't been revealed to him the truth about this. But I never said anything bad to him, like at all. No comments, no nothing, never badmouth him anything. Because I knew that, you know, with his platform, he's in a position of leadership that you can't critique every single thing because that doesn't build confidence in somebody. You give them grace. You give them opportunity to grow and to correct their ways. But the problem is he ain't never did that. And then he started making content about me that I didn't appreciate. So kind of lost respect in that aspect. But circling it around to King David. King David was winning battles, but he was also collecting women like infinity stones. And don't think for a second that Yah did not notice this, right? Just because Yah didn't address it then and there doesn't mean that what David was doing was okay. It's kind of like relationships. You stepping out on your person or whatever, or your person stepping out on you, and you're giving them an opportunity to come clean. That's what I liken it to. You're giving them an opportunity to come clean. What they're doing is wrong, but you're not, you know, you're not mentioning it. You're allowing them to see the error in their ways and to come to you and to come clean. But guess what? They never do. So then when something happens, then it's almost like they built up a case against themselves, which is exactly what King David did. He had a man lined up on the front line because King David was messing with his woman. And here's what I want to, I guess, ask the question. Because I don't want to, I can talk about this polygyny topic all day, y'all. Trust me. But here's like the question that I want to ask. What profits a man if he gained the whole world but loses his own soul? What profit a man if he gained the whole world but loses his own soul? What does it profit you to have more than one woman? What does it profit you to work hard only to divide that money up that you're getting amongst a whole bunch of women? One thing that is never mentioned, and I'll talk about this in another episode. Again, I'm probably going to do a series. One thing that is never mentioned when it comes to polygyny is how much of a burden it actually is. Because I feel like a lot of men are blinded by the lust and the thought of, oh my God, I can have me a whole bunch of baddies from every race and this, that. No. It is a burden. Because when you're actually doing polygyny, I'm not surprised why y'all think polygyny is cool, because y'all not practicing polygyny, right? That's not polygyny. Women providing for themselves and then having to share you. Boy, bye. Like, sorry, y'all. But that's not polygyny, sweetie. That's pimping. True polygyny is when you, the man, have the money and you're providing for the women equally. And my question to men is why? For what? Why would you put that burden on yourself? For what? Why would you put that burden on yourself? You mean to tell me that you have the money that you have now and you can't invest that in one woman? That's not being selfish. That's being the man that Yah needs you to be, that your kids need you to be, that the generations after you need you to be. Not you out here squandering your riches on having multiple women just to say you got multiple women. Because what happens when that money dries up? Those women gonna leave you for a man who got more money than you. What profit a man if he gained the whole world but loses his own soul? And I'm gonna leave y'all with that. Let that ponder. Don't want to rant too much on this episode. Again, I'm definitely gonna do a series because there's a lot more I have to say about this topic. I didn't even cover some of the things I wanted to say in this episode. So yeah, But I want us to think about that. How does this even benefit us? It doesn't. Polygyny is for pagans. It was a custom, culture, tradition, whatever the case may be, that the pagans participated in. And because Israel wanted what other people had, because Israel wanted what they wanted, because Israel rejected Yahuwah, they ended up getting a king. And even when they got a king, even Yahuwah put in parameters for the kings of Israel not to multiply women. And he said that before they even got a king, before they even got into the promised land, he put those parameters in place. And guess what Israel did? They did what they wanted to do. But that doesn't change the fact that Yah put those commands in place. So again, he put those commandments in place. You go against those commandments. What is that called? Sin. So yeah, y'all, I'm going to leave y'all with that. I think this has been a good conversation. Had a revelation, just thinking to myself. And again, there's so much more that I want to talk about. So I'm probably just going to do this into a series because this episode alone could probably be 4 hours. I can talk. Y'all know y'all girl. But yeah, I hope I gave you guys something to ponder on. Make sure to go back and review scriptures yourself. It is always best for you to go back and get in the word yourself because you'll probably come up with a revelation that God wants to give you personally, right? So yeah, y'all, I appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm so grateful for you hearing me out. And until next time.